Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house today. We think of the many that are not feeling well. Lord, would you just strengthen and encourage their hearts? We think of the children not feeling well. And Lord, I pray that you would bless their parents as they minister unto them today and care for them. Pray you'd encourage all of them, young and old alike. Lord, I pray for those facing medical testing this week that you would bless and help there. Those facing surgery this week, Lord, that you would bless and that comfort their hearts, guide the doctors, help them, Lord. And I pray now as we've come before your word, I pray that it would be unto us as a feast before us, a spiritual feast. Lord, please feed us from heaven this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. The Bible says, blessed is he that what? Readeth. And they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So blessed. Blessed means happy. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Now, sometimes you can gain different things. If you pick up the Bible and read it, you can gain some things that maybe by listening you would not catch. And then sometimes it's a little different as well. You can be reading the Bible, but maybe you're concentrating on pronouncing names. Like if you read 1 Chronicles, the first 9-10 chapters, there's a lot of names, long names there. And maybe in some of those instances, you'll catch something by listening to it. My heart's been blessed. I got a pair of earbuds or whatever you call them for my birthday, and so it fit my phone. And so I've been listening to Scripture on my phone. Just when I'm in situations where I don't have to concentrate on something else, then I can just listen to the Bible. And what a blessing. And sometimes I pick up, when I'm just listening, I pick up things that maybe I didn't notice when I was reading it for myself. So it's good both ways, to read it and to listen to it read. So the first blessing here is on the people who read, and then they that hear the word. You know, we take for granted almost everything we have in life, don't we? How many of you earnestly, sincerely thank the Lord that you woke up and had electricity this morning? Did anyone? Okay. All right. Our power was off. I think it was, consumer said an hour and 50 minutes. I don't know if that was this week or the week, this past week or the week before. But we take it for granted a lot of times. How many of you this morning, when you woke up or came out maybe to the kitchen, thanked the Lord that you had clean, fresh water to drink and use? Okay? So oftentimes we take that for granted, don't we? Unless we've had well trouble or something else. How many of you, when you went out to start your car or truck this morning, as soon as the engine came to life, how many of you thank God? Lord, thank you. I have a vehicle that runs. Okay. That means that no one's had car trouble lately, okay? Because no one just stopped to think. But if you have trouble with your car and it won't start, then for a little while, we just, oh, Lord, thank you that it started. But it's like that. Everything we have and do, we take for granted. And that's sad. And we take for granted, because we have the Bible, too many times we take it for granted that we have it and that can and read it. A lot of people in the world do not. But if you hold your place here, turn to me, please, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 14. Psalm 119 and verse 14. Sadly, we take the Word of God too many times for granted. Psalm 119 and verse 14. The Bible says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in what? Thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will what? Delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. So here we find David just rejoicing in the fact that he has the Bible and can read it and meditate in it. So that's what God wants us to do. Think of Job. Oh, how Job suffered. Job 23. Job 23 and verse 12. Job suffered so much. Now, when you're sick, what are you supposed to do when you're not feeling well? Maybe you have a cold or something else. What is one of the first things that everyone says you should do every day? Drink lots of water. You know, sometimes when you're not feeling well, you don't feel like drinking lots of water. And yet they say drink lots of water. It might be when you don't feel good, just as on the same token, when you're not feeling well, it might be really hard to open this book and read it. It might be just difficult for you. You're just thinking, I just don't feel well. I don't feel like reading. But notice Job, he suffered so much. Job 23:12. He said, neither have I gone back from what? The commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth. So this is talking about God's word, the Bible. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than what? My necessary food. So Job was so sick. And he's saying, you know what? I esteem your word as more necessary to me even than food. And notice in Matthew chapter 4, remember when Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and Satan came to tempt him. Matthew 4 and verse 4. Satan tempted him with that. Actually, let's start in verse 1 to get the context. Matthew 4, 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted, what? 40 days and 40 nights. He was afterward and hungered. Well, you can understand that. No food for 40 days. Verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Yeah, I can see a day coming which has been prophesied. And notice with me in Amos chapter 8, I can see this day coming sooner rather than later with all the things that have happened. Amos 8, 11. What is this prophecy I'm talking about? Let's read. Amos 8, 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send what? A famine in the land, not a famine of what? Bread. Nor a thirst for what? Water, but of what? Hearing the words of the Lord. So we're talking about the Bible. God said there's a famine coming. I'm not talking about food. I'm not talking about water, but I'm talking about the word of God, hearing the words of God. Verse 12, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek what? The word of the Lord, and shall what? Not find it. Can't you just see that day coming? I mean, you have all the big social medias. You know, you have Facebook and Twitter, and then you have the big search engines, Google, trying to hide the spiritual things. You know, you're trying to do a search, and for some reason, that one's not coming up. They have all these algorithms. And they can tweak them how they want as to what comes up when people do a search. You know, if they wanted to, you could search for salvation. Well, if they wanted to, they could have cults come up first. Or they could have atheist websites come up first. They can do all that. And we've read stories about all different things in life right now that we're facing. They tweak them so you might not be finding what you're really searching for. In other words, you might not be finding the truth when you do searches today. And even some of the big hosts, like Amazon, is a huge host of websites. And certain conservative organizations, they have kicked off their computers because they don't like what they're getting out there. So you couple what's happening right now, because people are just Well, that's the go-to to find out. You know, it's no longer ask God. It's like ask Google. You know, it's just whether people knowingly or unknowingly do it, it's, oh, well, I got to do a search. It's not, oh, I've got to pray about this. It's, oh, well, I got to do a search on this. But how is the search tweaked to mislead you and me? That's the issue we're facing today. And I mean, we saw the coronavirus. So what was deemed non-essential? Church. Church was deemed non-essential. Funny thing about it is the grocery store was deemed what? Essential. What have we just read about Jesus in the other passage? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So we're being told that church is not essential. If you go to church, you might get COVID. Well, what about the grocery store? Well, you've got to go to the grocery store because you need food. So see, the world is deeming, the world is causing people to think you got to go to the grocery store. You can't close the grocery store. People would starve. What if you closed the church? What if you allow all these search engines to discriminate against this heavenly food? So what do you end up with? You end up with people that don't know God. You end up with people that, well, like this coronavirus, they say suicide is way up. You know, you isolate people, you keep them out of the house of God. Just think of how many people died alone during coronavirus. Hospitals said no visitors, not even family. Who's in there watching what's going on? What is going on in there? People, a multitude of people died all alone with no family. There was a time when they would not let us in. As ministers of the gospel, there's a time when you can't go in. You can't see them. No one can get in. And that was another thing that reminded me. You talk about God trying to wake people up. You know what? When we die, we're going to stand alone before God. And there's a lot of people that died all alone. All alone. They died without anyone being able to come in and share the word of God with them. Why? Because man deemed it non-essential. Now you have people right now with businesses and are saying, you know, okay, well, if you don't get vaccinated, you can't work here. If you don't get vaccinated, you can't be in the military. If you don't get vaccinated, you can't go to sporting events or this or that. And I read a quote this week. One of our politicians said, I've met the enemy. It's the unvaccinated. So, you know, where do we go? What do we do? You talk about not being able to buy or sell without the mark. I mean, you've got passports now. You've got different forms of proof that you have or have. Well, if you haven't, then you don't have the proof. But I read about some time ago, someone got in big trouble. I think, in fact, he was arrested because he made up his own fake vaccination card. And they found out about it and they arrested him. People around the world, Brother Michael, as I said, went from Iran to Australia. And so the church where he got saved over there, they're shut down. Australia is extremely strict, one of the nations that are. And so their church is just shut right down. They can't meet at all. So I'm talking about here in Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. It's being discriminated on the internet. All the giant social medias and search engines are trying to discriminate against the word of God. They're trying to shut it down. Can't meet at church. Can't find it online. What is happening? Right before our eyes, we are seeing a famine come upon us of hearing the words of the Lord. So we better take delight in the Word of God while we have it. We better take delight and hide it in our hearts. So back in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, Revelation 1, 3, the Bible says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Now, the prophecy in mind here is the book of Revelation. Now, why would anyone who reads the book of Revelation be blessed? How many of you have ever heard of the Fox's Book of Martyrs? Okay. How many of you have read part or all of the Fox's Book of Martyrs? Okay. How many of you enjoyed reading the Fox's Book of Martyrs? No one. A martyr is someone who gives his or her life for a cause. So we're talking in specific here about people who have given their lives for their faith in Christ. That's what the Fox's Book of Martyrs is about. People who have died because of their faith in Christ. It's not an easy book to read. It's a gruesome book to read. Now, why does the Bible give a blessing here, those who read and hear the book of Revelation? The book of Revelation is filled with catastrophic judgments upon the earth. Why does God say that then that someone who reads the book of Revelation or hears it will be blessed? I mean, Fox's Book of Martyrs, you wouldn't want to read before we're ready to eat. It's gruesome. Well, let me give you a couple examples here. Number one, the reading of the book of Revelation brings a blessing to people because it lets us know that God is going to prevail over evil. It's a long sentence. I'll read it again. The reading of the book of Revelation brings a blessing to people because it lets us know that God is going to prevail over evil. Notice in Revelation 1:8, Jesus says here, I am Alpha and Omega. Now, Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So in English, it'd be like saying, Jesus is A to Z. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. So it lets us know that he's the beginning and he's the end. Notice in Hebrews 12 and verse 1. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto who? Jesus, the what? The author and finisher of what? Our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Reading the book of Revelation lets us know that, you know what? Evil is not going to win. God is going to prevail. Righteousness is going to prevail. That's the victory right there. You know, when you think about it, the stories and books, back when people had a biblical foundation, it used to be that most fiction books had a good ending to them. It used to be that films, when someone would write a storyline and make a film out of it, and of course many films have been made based upon books, stories that people wrote. But it used to be that storylines, films, and all that, it seems like the good guy used to win. But then there came like this cloud hanging over our country and the world. People didn't seem to come to Jesus Christ for salvation as much anymore. They didn't read the Bible, didn't have a fear of God. And I know I used to read an adventure story series to my children. They were young. And the good guy always won in those adventure series. Always. The bad guys always met their end. But you know what? Then as time went on, that series was rather old, and someone else started rewriting it. And they started, with the main characters, they started introducing fighting between the main characters. And then they started introducing, like, some of the main characters that had been in the books suddenly were killed, tragically killed. And it's like, you know, when people don't have Christ in their hearts and when they don't have the assurance of the end of matters, you know what they start writing? They start writing tragedies is what they start writing. Kind of like back in Europe, you know, some of their writings that were done for theater didn't always have a nice ending. What's wrong? You take Christ out of the picture, you take no hope then. You have no hope without Christ. So the book of Revelation, yes, it has just one catastrophic judgment after another, but it lets us know we're blessed when we read it because we read the end of the story. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And you notice here in Romans 12, in verse 3 then, for consider who? Him, Jesus. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be what? Wearied and what? Faint in your minds. Look, today, we've got the coronavirus. We've got rising gas prices and rising inflation. And, you know, now they're saying this coronavirus is probably never going to leave us. This is probably always going to be with us like the normal flu. If there was a normal flu, they wouldn't have a different flu shot every season, would they? Viruses change. You know, COVID is a virus. It's going to change like everything. I from the very first, I thought, wait a minute, you're saying this is a virus, but you're saying there's going to be a vaccination for it, you know, like a vaccination for measles and smallpox. But if this is a virus, don't viruses keep changing? And so, yeah, what's going on? What's really going on? But it can leave a person without any hope if you look at the world's perspective. But you look at it through the book of Revelation. Yes, the coronavirus, biblically speaking, would be defined as a pestilence. A pestilence is a highly contagious disease and can be deadly, just like the normal flu. In a normal winter time, the spotlight has been taken off from the normal flu, but every year in our country during flu season, thousands of people die. Thousands. Every year in America. That fact has kind of disappeared with all that's been going on. But so people can get so discouraged. Listen, we don't have to be discouraged. When we know Christ is our Savior, He's the Alpha and Omega. He's from A to Z. He covers it all. He's going to be the victor in the end. And what is our end when we know Christ? Well, look at Revelation 21. Revelation 21. You know, with people that this earth is all they have, they don't have Christ as their Savior, they don't know their sins are forgiven, they're just distraught. You know, they could have this right here, which we have through Christ. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw what? A new heaven and what? A new earth. You know what? God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Think of how many people have died on the sea. A lot of them. In the new heaven and new earth, there's going to be no sea, no more sea. Verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. God is preparing a place for us in John 14. And God is going to bring that heavenly city down to this new heaven and new earth. One day he's going to bring it down, the place which he has prepared. Verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall what? Wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more what? Pain. For the former things are passed away. This is what we have to look forward to. You know, the person without Jesus Christ, you look at coronavirus, you look at all the other aches and pains and diseases that are out there, and you think, what is there to life? What hope is there? You know, the older we get, the more the memory fades, the more the aches and pains come, the different parts of our bodies begin to fail. And without Christ, I mean, it would be so bleak. But in Christ, there's only good things. That we know the end of the story. God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to bring down this wonderful place. And of course, for Christians, we'll be caught up together with him in the clouds at the rapture. And that could happen at any moment. We'll be with him 7 years in heaven. And then the Lord's going to come back. And that's going to be at the end of that tribulation period, where Christ is the victor of it and evil is put down. And for 1,000 years, he's going to rule and reign. At the end of that 1,000 years is what we're looking at here, where he's going to make this new heaven and new earth. You know, sometimes people say the best is yet to come. Well, that's true for Christians, but it's not true for the lost, is it? You look at Revelation 20, verse 15. Revelation 20, 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast where? Into the lake of fire. So by reading the book of Revelation, it for us as Christians, it causes us to see, you know what? The end of the story is good. It's glorious. But for the lost, what about those people who are not saved? How could the book of Revelation help them? The book of Revelation could help them by showing them the terrible judgments that are going to fall on this earth. And then what we just read, the horrible end of dying in our sin without Christ forgiving us by his precious blood. They can be blessed by reading the book of Revelation by being awakened from their sin and waking up and receiving Christ. Notice in Revelation 16, in verse 8, Revelation 16, 8. So an unsaved person can be awakened in their sinful condition by reading the book of Revelation and waking up and saying, wait a minute, I don't want to go through that horrible time, and I don't want to be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 16, 8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat. And what? Blaspheme the name of God. Now, wouldn't you think if someone was being burned by the sun that way, they would say, oh God, have mercy on me. Wouldn't you think? But they're not. They're going to blaspheme his name, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. What is there about darkness that would cause people to gnaw their tongues for pain? Well, it was because in verse 9, they were scorched with great heat, and then darkness came. It's just like with you and I. You know, we might be in pain, we might have discomfort, but when it's light and when we're up moving and active, other things are taking our minds off of that. But at night, when it's dark, and there's no other sounds. And so our eyes are closed. We're not tasting, smelling. Our different senses are not keeping our mind busy. And then the pain sets in. We notice the pain. They gnawed their tongues for pain in the darkness. Verse 11, and what? Blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. You just stop and think about, why don't they call upon God? Lord, help me. Help me in my pain. Nope, they blaspheme his name. And then it goes on to say, and repented not of their deeds. Do you see, an unsaved person right now can be blessed by reading the book of Revelation and see, listen, these people that enter into the tribulation period, their minds and their hearts are hardened against God. I don't want to be in that situation. I want to call upon him now. I want to be saved. And that's what God wants. Notice in 2 Peter 3, that is what God wants. God wants people to be saved. He wants to forgive their sin. In 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse 8. 2 Peter 3, 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Be not ignorant. God wants people to be knowledgeable. Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is what? Long-suffering to usward, not willing that what? Any should perish, but that all should what? Come to repentance. All should come to repentance. How do we come to repentance? We need to realize, listen, my direction of sin is dead end. Yesterday we were calling on a street that had a dead end sign. That is what life is like without Christ. It's a dead end. God wants people to realize, listen, that path of sin is a dead end. It's the way of judgment. And so repentance is turning to Christ. It's our free will. It's not working our way to salvation. It's exercising our free will. I'm turning from that path that's going to lead me to judgment. I'm turning to Christ. I'm not depending upon my own works. I'm depending upon Jesus, the one. Jesus is the Son of God. He's God Almighty in the flesh. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross to save me from my sin. Lord, I do receive you as my Savior. I do want you to transform my life. That's what repentance and faith is. And that's what God desires. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the blessing of the reading and hearing the book of Revelation, I pray this famine, I can see this famine coming. It's coming. It's beginning. The Word of God, man is trying to cut it out from being accessed. May the Lord help us to appreciate His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray if there should be any here today who have never repented and received Christ, I pray today would be their day of salvation. Help them to not put it off. Lord, so many things are happening around us. We see the world is being prepared for the Antichrist. And Lord, how sad. How sad that they're missing the true Christ, the living Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for their sins, paid the price, but they're rejecting him. And when the Antichrist comes along, they'll follow him to their own destruction. Father, please help us as we try to reach out with the truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.